You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is it too late in the process, though, to change that?
Nothing's too late, bro. Everything's made up in politics.
The Wire.
This past weekend, People Against Prisons Aotearoa organised a protest against the planned development at Waikerea Prison, calling out existing space in prisons, excessive spending on prisons during cuts across government departments, and the ineffectiveness of prisons more broadly. I speak to People Against Prisons Aotearoa's press spokesperson, Emi Dakite, about the development and the government's approach to crime and punishment. So just to start us off, could you talk briefly about what the Waikerea prison development is from the perspective of People Against Prisons Aotearoa?
The Waikerea mega prison is just the government's latest attack on the proletariat. The government is telling us on Thursday that the country's broke, that there's no money for housing, for education, for employment, for healthcare, no money to pay doctors, no money for anything that anyone actually needs. But they're willing to dump nearly $2 billion into an American-style mega prison because they understand that this is a very effective way of clamping down on working-class dissent and on privatizing responsibility for social harm. That means that they create the conditions that produce crime, that produce suffering, but then through mass incarceration, turn that into the responsibility only of individuals.
The government has talked at length about the previous Labour government's aims to decrease the prison population and criticise these. What does this development and that kind of policy tell us about the current government's approach to crime and incarceration?
Yeah, the government's taken a totally reactionary approach to crime and justice. And they're really what they're proposing is that the cause of crime is prison sentences being too low. And we know this isn't the case. Crime is caused by suffering, structural suffering, suffering inflicted on society by the capitalist class who insist on accumulating as much wealth as they can at the expense of everybody else in society. And so when they say these things like we're going to introduce three strikes law again, we're going to build an American-style mega prison, we're going to cut funding on everything in society apart from cops and prisons, what they're saying is that you deserve to live less. And anybody who behaves as though they've been deprived, immiserated and exploited, anybody who behaves in a dysfunctional way, it's their fault for acting that way, and so we're going to lock them up.
You spoke a little bit about the government creating the conditions that would cause people to go to prisons. Is this just through the cuts or through some broader policies as well?
Yeah, so, I mean, the causes of things like crime, violence, mental illness, suffering, these are structural, right? It's not a random defect with individual human beings. It's a problem with the structure of society. And it's not just this government, it's every government since capitalism was introduced into this country that has ruled in the interests of the capitalist class. That means that all of us are held hostage every day, held hostage by landlords who will turn us out into the street if we don't pay them rent, held hostage by supermarkets and grocery companies who will let us starve if we can't pay for food. In all of these ways, we're bound into this capital relationship where we have to submit ourselves to exploitation and wage labour in order to be able to survive. And when that's hard to do, when we can't do that successfully, we suffer. And that suffering manifests in lots of different ways. One of the ways in which that suffering manifests is in things like mental illness, addiction, violence and crime.
What are the groups of people that will be worst affected by these policies more broadly and the investments into corrections and prison development?
Yeah, I mean, every 5 minutes, it seems like the police and the prison system issue a formal apology for how racist they used to be. And then they wait a little while and then they issue another one of these apologies for how racist they used to be. So if we know one thing about the justice system in this country, it's that it fundamentally discriminates against Maori people at every point in its operation. And we can see this really easily when we look at some basic statistics about who is inside. Maori make up about half of the prison population, and that means that Maori communities will face the worst brunt of this mega prison. But one thing that's less obvious from statistics that I think is really important to talk about is that going off of tax data that People Against Prisons Aotearoa was provided through an Official Information Act request, it looks like about 9 in 10 incarcerated people weren't paying income tax in the 3 months before they went inside. That means either they were unemployed or they were only making money through the informal economy. So it's not just that the prison system is racist, but that the prison system overwhelmingly targets the working class in this country, specifically the most deprived, exploited, and marginalised segment of the working class.
There's also talks about $80 million, slightly less than $80 million, going towards rehabilitation services for those in remand. What is this actually doing, and is this too little, I guess?
Yeah, so Mark Mitchell kind of mumbles his way through his interviews. I don't know why they're letting him in front of cameras. Mark Mitchell will make a lot out of the amount of money that the government is investing into rehabilitation for people in remand. And sure, that's not a bad thing, but we should be serious for a moment. If they're spending, I think it's $78 million on rehabilitation services, they are spending $1,900 million on this mega prison. So it's an insignificant amount of money. It's less than 5% of the total spend is on rehabilitation. So it's a rounding error, right? All of these guys have more money than this down their couch cushions at home.
And should we be aiming for more rehabilitative measures, I guess? Like, what kind of measures could that $1.9 billion go to?
So we spend over $100,000 to keep one person in prison for 1 year. I can't think of any incarcerated person who I supported when I was doing prison advocacy whose life I couldn't completely fix if they had an income of $100,000 a year. So prison is expensive. They don't help people. And so that's why I think that this approach to kind of doing rehabilitation services or providing mental health care in prisons is so backwards. Mark Mitchell was saying this on RNZ yesterday as well. He's making a lot of noise about how they're going to be doing world-class mental health treatment in this prison. You can't give somebody mental health treatment if you've torn them out of their community, shipped them across the country away from their family, who they're not going to see, possibly for years at a time, and keeping them in a concrete cage, which is really violent, really frightening, and full of people who you are scared of all the time. It's completely absurd. And if we thought of incarcerated people as human beings, we would know it's absurd, right? When I have loved ones who have struggled, who have suffered, who are doing poorly, I don't think what she really, really needs is to leave behind everyone she knows to go to a place where she's at constant risk of violence. That's what's going to help her kind of get her life together. It's farcical.
That was People Against Prisons Aotearoa's press spokesperson Emi Rakete speaking to me about the Waikerea prison development and the government's approach to crime. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Wire on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.